This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. In addition to its patented protein blend, their formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system and makes it an easy-to-digest formula. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code Dr. Nicole for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
In this episode, you're going to get advice about pumping from Diana Dixon with Pump with Purpose. Welcome to the All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, a board-certified OBGYN who's been in practice for nearly 15 years. I've had the privilege of helping over 1,000 babies into this world, and I'm here to help you be calm, confident, and empowered to have a beautiful pregnancy and birth. Quick note, this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for medical advice. Check out the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is episode number 216. Whether you are a new listener or a returning listener, I'm so glad that you're spending some of your time with me today. In today's episode, we have Dr. Diana Dixon from Pump with Purpose. Dr. Dixon is a doctor of public administration, a certified lactation counselor, and a certified breastfeeding specialist. And her company, Pump with Purpose, is a global lactation private practice servicing the breastfeeding community across the world. And she started it due to a recognized lack of resources and assistance in lactation for people that want to include pumping in their journey, either exclusively or in addition to nursing. They help folks to increase breast milk supply with the right pump, flange, products, and schedule. And Pump with Purpose wants to be an additional resource on your breastfeeding journey to assist with incorporating pumping in a way that works for you and your family. So we have a great and really informative conversation about choosing a breast pump, choosing the correct flange size, creating a pumping schedule, how to increase your milk supply, mistakes that she sees people commonly make with pumping, and then something called pumping self-care, which I really, really loved. Diana is so serious about her work and so passionate about her work. It really comes through in our conversation. And again, I know you're really going to find it enjoyable and find it super useful. Now, before we get into the episode, I have a special announcement to make. I want to invite you to join the All About Pregnancy and Birth Inner Circle community. This is a community that I have created in support of my goals of making a big, loving, supportive place for those who are having a baby. So this is a free Facebook group. It's called the All About Pregnancy and Birth Inner Circle Community. And I would love for you to join the community if you are thinking about getting pregnant, trying to get pregnant, if you are currently pregnant, if you are a birth worker, a doula, a lactation consultant, a pelvic physical therapist, if you are a healthcare worker who works in a pregnancy and birth related space, like you're an OBGYN, a midwife, a labor and delivery nurse, a postpartum nurse, a pediatrician, or a baby nurse. I would love for you to join this community. Again, I'm looking to create a place of like-minded folks to just create that warm, supportive place online that is missing these days, quite frankly. We so often see people, you know, fighting and divided and this, that, and the other regarding things in our country. And I just want to create a space that is open, that is accepting. Now, I know it's not going to be perfect, and I know that there will be disagreements and things that come up. That's the nature of being humans. But we're going to do this in a way that is not tearing people down, that's not ugly, that's not mean, that recognizes and supports our humanity in the ways that we are all connected and is empathetic and just a great, lovely place to be. So come join the Inner Circle community. It is at facebook.com/groups/ Dr. Nicole Rankins. And we will put that link in the show notes. And then also, if you just go to Facebook and search for All About Pregnancy and Birth, or All About Pregnancy, or even search my name in Facebook groups, you should be able to find it. All right. So I cannot wait to see you inside the Inner Circle community. All right, let's get into the conversation with Dr. Dixon. Dr. Dixon, thank you so much for agreeing to come onto the podcast. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, so why don't you start off by telling us a bit about yourself and your work and your family, if you'd like.
I would love to. So I am Dr. Diana Dixon. I am a doctor of public administration, a certified lactation counselor, and a certified breastfeeding specialist. I am the CEO of Pump With Purpose. I can be found on 10 social media platforms. So very excited about. I am a global, well, we are a global lactation private practice, seeing 2,000 appointments to date in less than 2 years.
Wow.
Very, very proud of that. Built from the ground up. just so excited. So I see clients on every single continent to date except Antarctica. I'm just waiting for someone to be over there and doing something, need some help in some
way.
But I'm so proud of that. So I am a mom of two. Mm-hmm. I'm a wife and mom of two little boys that are 5 and 3.5 now.
Okay.
So Pump With Purpose started, I've always helped people to pump. Mm-hmm. My breastfeeding journey started from my son. He was born and had a great pregnancy, but when they went to break my water, they discovered mm-hmm. that my son had pooped in the sac, he had meconium. Mm-hmm. And then when we reached emergency C-section, he had meconium aspiration, so his lungs collapsed at birth. He had to be resuscitated, immediately taken off to the NICU, left on the table, wide open. My husband whisked away with our newest little one in tears. Right. And I'm just sitting there vulnerable, taken off to the recovery room. Mm-hmm. My mom just saw emergency room staff just being full, like 20 people.
Sure.
Coming in, so she bulldozed her way. That's my mom. And like, I need to see what's going on. So I was okay. Luckily, everything went well with my oldest. But at the end of the day, no one taught me anything. And some of it, I've now, on this side of it, I'll talk about this side of it.
Right.
I look back and I didn't do some things as well.
Okay.
But I didn't know, you know, to do anything. I didn't know I could start hand expressing or just stimulating my nipples at birth if I'm separated from baby while I'm recovering from a C-section.
Right.
I was taken to the room. There are pumps. There were pumps in every single room. No one taught me how to use it.
Okay.
They just gave it to me.
Okay.
They put it there with a kit. No one said anything. They didn't tell me how often to pump, what to do, how to collect my milk. I am just left with a son in the NICU separated from. He did come. So I'm a C-section walk in a different area to go to see him, to say I'm pumping, all the things. And fast forward, I could have done a lot of things so differently. I was put to the test. So I started pumping. I didn't know, you know, some of the things that I know now. Mm-hmm. And I went on to have an amazing journey. My first journey was 9 months until I got pregnant with my second son, Plan. Okay. I pumped and I had 3,000 ounces saved up of breast milk to get done from 9 months to 12 months. On my breast milk. So I had our second son. He was born clean. I did another C-section plan this time, but he was born clean as a whistle. Spent my whole journey stressed about, oh my goodness, this is going to happen again. Happened, but I planned this time. I knew exactly what I needed to do. I pumped this journey over 3 years, providing breast milk for my toddler and my infant, and as well saving, rotating my freezer stash for over 3 years. So Pump with Purpose was came about in 2021 due to my worry about my weaning journey. I was like, I thought I wanted to wean. I was coming up on my 2 year mark, was my first goal for myself, but I wasn't ready. Why am I putting these time frames on my life? So I was like, you need to write a book. And I'm like, if I ever write one day, someone else will help me to do that with a ghostwriter. I'm just putting that out there. It's been on my heart. But I talk. I love to talk. I love to tell my story. I love to help other people realize that there are so many options when it comes to breastfeeding. So I started the practice and all the certifications, everything did not start until that happened. And from there, I pumped for another 3 years, built an amazing platform on so many platforms, because our global mission is to normalize pumping and let the world know that we pump with purpose. So I just really want to let women know that you can do what works best for you. Pumping can be viable, sustainable, long-term solution. We don't have to put societal pressures on ourselves so much that we can't see the glory in the journey. I wouldn't have had this platform today if I wouldn't have went through what I went through. Birth trauma produces purpose. So everything on my brand has been strategically designed to hope people see me in a different way, see pumping in a different way. So excited to be here.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I can tell you're very passionate about your work.
Yes.
You're also very serious about your work. Sometimes you see people pop up on social media and they're like, well, I did this thing, so now I'm an expert. And I kind of have some problems with that. Like, yes, you may be an expert in your particular experience or journey, but there is something to people who put in some work and study and get prepared. And it sounds like that's what you did. And I think that's great. I'm curious, what did you do before you started this?
Helped underserved communities in a regulation standpoint. So definitely high profile, high corporate America standards. But my background is in risk management, which in a way, pumping is like risk management. Do what you're supposed to do. You have to have milk and preparing with the plan in order. So it was a pivot for me. I became a mom and I realized there was so much more to life than that. So many times we're forced to face so many different decisions. It was a journey to this place is something that just evolved as it just became more of, I want to know, I want to help, I want to be, I want women to see that they can do what they want to do.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it. Love it. And then did you ever both feed at the breast and pump, or did you always pump? And if so, can you share why?
Yes, we call, well, in the EP world, exclusive pumping by force or by choice.
Okay.
First journey by force, second journey by choice. So first, I did try to nurse. It's something, half of my clients actually nurse, believe it or not. I just help them to add pumping to their journey in the way that works best.
And that's what I figured. Yeah.
Yeah. So I refer out everything that's dealing with, I'm very vocal on what we do not assist with, no lash assessments or anything like that, anything dealing with nursing. But for the first journey, it was by force, whereas I wanted to give my child breast milk. My first son was tongue tied and lip tied severely. So he was not able to nurse and effectively. So of course I was pumping well. So I'm like, if it's just with tongue tie and lip tie for me, just about nursing, I'm okay.
Right.
When I started researching and learning all the other things that and implications that can happen later, we did proceed with this procedure at 6 weeks. Uh-huh. I did try to reintroduce to the breast, uh-huh, and it did not go well. I remember the story. At 3 months, I just kept trying and trying. My husband's like, why are you doing this to yourself?
Right.
I'm supposed to nurse. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to. That undue societal pressure,
yes,
was on me. And I put my son at the breast for the last time that day, and he laughed at me. When I tell you.
No, he didn't.
I mean, no, like cackle, like,
oh, no.
Boy did not.
See, listen.
He called me out. I never tried again.
Okay.
So my second journey, my second son was also lip tied, mm-hmm, and tongue tied and buckle tied. I attempted. But by then, I knew it wasn't for me. But again, societal pressure,
sure,
makes you think that you need to do this in order to be successful. Right. You need to do this to say that you can, mm-hmm, help with breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. So I tried. It didn't work. When we got his tongue tie and lip tie done, this time we did his assessment afterwards with the bottle. And I was okay with that.
Okay.
He never was introduced to the breast past the hospital.
Okay.
And
okay.
I did it by choice. I knew I didn't. But then in the back of your mind, you're like, you know, do I still want to do it? So,
sure.
And in my community, she said, if you had another child, would you do it again? I would try to nurse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, it's not for me.
Right.
I'm on this side of things, mm-hmm, where nothing from society and their pressure can impact my decisions when it comes to choices I would make when it comes to breastfeeding.
Gotcha. I mean, and you could also even change your mind in the moment. Like, none of us has to be stuck to any one thing.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. As an OBGYN and podcast host, I'm excited to share a resource that empowers mothers and mothers-to-be in managing their pelvic floor and core health. It's called Informed Pregnancy Plus, and it offers access to essential workshops that can significantly enhance your understanding and care of your body during and after pregnancy. Discover The Core Connection, a foundational 5-episode series by Natalie Headings, a pre-postnatal exercise specialist. This series covers the basics of pelvic floor health, teaches key postural adjustments, and shows you how to activate your core properly. For a more comprehensive experience, check out Mindful Movement. This premium series provides in-depth content, including practical exercises and personalized strategies to strengthen your body. It's like having a pelvic health expert in your home. You can try the full subscription streaming library of Informed Pregnancy Plus absolutely free. Visit informedpregnancy.tv to start an empowered journey toward a healthier motherhood. Take this step for your health, your body, and your baby will thank you. So let's start off with talking about breast pumps, because they're like, so many of them. There's so many new ones from when I, you know, was doing this a long time ago. My children are 15 and 13. So what are your top 2 or 3 pieces of advice when it comes to choosing a breast pump?
Okay, so let's start by one thing I didn't mention is I have well over 300 products in here, including 60 plus breast pumps.
Okay.
Be very clear. People think that I have been gifted breast pumps by brands, but I do not accept them I don't accept money for reviews of them.
Gotcha.
Makes sense. Uh-huh. Like, get them, uh-huh, because before this, probably 20-ish to 25, even before I started Pump With Purpose, I had already, uh-huh, tried. I was that person, like, I need to, okay, try every pump. I need to make sure, not knowing, sure, Pump With Purpose was going to come later. So people,
right,
think,
right,
oh, she was just gifted all. No, I have spent thousands, and the first number is not one, on breast,
okay,
pumps out of my,
okay,
own pocket. Out of,
okay,
my own pocket. But I do have over 60 plus breast pumps and another 250 plus pumping products in here that,
okay,
families pull up. It's different when you have not just an educated experience, but a lived experience and a learned,
sure,
experience.
So, sure,
I am able, when they pull up, I know how it feels. I know what's too strong. If they're like, I'm using an 8 on this pump, I know what an 8 feels like. I can,
gotcha,
not just, oh, that's a pump. And I read it was a good pump. And everybody on social media tells me they love,
right,
this pump.
Right.
I have so many experiences with pumps that I use that women choose. So when it comes to the pump, what to consider,
yeah,
there are, right, different kinds. You have your hospital grade. So there's a difference. Hospital grade. The ones found in hospitals is hospital grade. Mm. Then you have, mm-hmm, your hospital strength pumps that are like your personal pumps, but I call them workhorse pumps, that they can,
right,
be customized 60 plus ways. So there's so many setting options on them. Then you,
okay,
have your what I call small motor pumps, where they fit in the palm of your hand. Then I have what's called wearable pumps. Wearable pumps go into the bra, no tubing. So that's the four. That's how I delineate the pumps. I am, for someone establishing their supply from birth, I only recommend hospital grade or your workhorse pumps that can be highly customizable. That is that's the number one option for me. My community will know when they hear this. That's my secret sauce. It has to be customizable. I need to be able to make that pump go faster, slower, stronger, weaker when I decide to do so. So many pumps on the market, they control when it, 2 minutes and that's it. Or as soon as it, or as you go up in suction strength, it slows down. What about if you don't like it slower? Well, you know, all of those things. So I am big on customizable. I want pumps. I don't like pumps that are considered to be convenient. Some of them, yes, people like, I get it. There's a different, you need them on different parts of your journey. But as you're home, as you're recovering, you want something that is, because a lot of times these smaller pumps are more aggressive to a person that may cause nipple pain, trauma, soreness, damage later, because these motors are like this big, kind of like a, you know, a car. You know, if you got a teeny little car versus a big old, you know, the motors are different, that they're smoother for some women. So I'm big on having a pump that is customizable, that's able to respond well to what your body likes. That's the biggest thing. People just think, I'm gonna say this in love, press a button, turn on the pump, put it on, and then like all this milk's gonna come out, right? Gotcha. They don't realize making sure that it aligns with your body and what you like based on your body. So I'm big on, there's different pumping research out that to be able to individualize the pump choice based on someone's preferences. So I like to figure out what you want. There are wall pumps, right? Do you want to be chained to a wall all day, right? There are pumps that you can walk around with, but still can be a workhorse pump. Hint, hint, I don't recommend unless something is really going on, that underlying condition or something is going on, those pumps that chain you to the wall, because it's going to make your journey harder when you feel like you can't get up and move around. I am big on, you know, what is your budget? I have pumps in here, not saying I recommend it, from like $35 to $2,000. Not saying you need a $2,000 pump, but I'm just going to say that these $20, $40 pumps may not provide, they're not built to be used long term. People are blowing through 3 or 4 pumps in the first year because they're using these pumps exclusively, because a lot of times these pumps may not have been meant to be used exclusively on a journey.
I would say with insurance also, I mean, your insurance is probably going to pay for at least one breast pump. You probably want to get something as, I don't want to say as expensive, but some, if you can get something that's going to be better, then go for something that's going to be a little bit.
The insurance pumps. So if you have insurance as an option, I help clients go through the list of insurance pumps. I walk them through like what they would like, what they may not like. But you can choose wrong when it comes to insurance pumps. Because let me tell you what people do. They go to the internet and they say, what is the best breast pump? SEO, people don't realize that. People have light bulbs. Like, SEO is an amazing tool that whoever pays highest to be at the top of the ranking may not be the best breast pump for you. Really trying to, or some people say, my friend used this breast pump and this worked well for this person. Why is it not working well for me? Because it's based on your body. Someone may prefer some of the settings on that breast pump. When pumps don't allow customization, that pump is saying that 100% of the people that use that pump only need those settings. Do you know how that's so inaccurate? You may need to customize to make your body comfortable. Let's not even bring in the factor of sensory or what's strong. Someone have different pain tolerances. So maybe you do need a stronger suction pump. Maybe you don't. Some of my clients, like they have very high, they tell me I have a high pain tolerance. So I know I can't go giving them this gentle little pump because they're going to feel like nothing is happening.
Absolutely. So definitely, this is something I hadn't even thought about. Like, you can't have a one size fits all. Definitely think about, you want something that you have the option to customize, and maybe you might need some help customizing the settings, but you want to start with something where you can get customized.
Find out what your body likes. Yeah, people think I just say that to them just to say, oh, I want you to know. Like, once my clients finally pull up and like we go through it, some of them already have amazing pumps.
Sure.
A lot of them, they just don't know how to use them based on their body.
Gotcha.
Some people are like, can you make it work? I'm like, we can do a plan A and a plan B. Plan A is if you have something that I know will work, that's going to work. I just have to teach you to use it. Right. Some we can try to make it work. And then if not, once we fix the flanges, then we can go over to giving you an option. Gotcha. Sometimes when people invest more money, they want to make sure that what they've invested in before, if they
sure
is not going to work.
Gotcha. And speaking of flanges, how do people pick the right flange size?
So flanges, let me tell you what I don't like, the cookie cutter stuff. People think, I measure my nipple is a 15. They think they automatically, they look at the internet, go up, all these different sizes. I have people ranging depending on what their nipple elasticity needs in order to be successful. Some women, their nipple is what's called elastic, that it stretches and swells to the back of the flange. Okay. And you may need to consider that when choosing flanges.
Gotcha.
There are also women, and I'm pleased if you're listening to this on the sound of my voice, if you hear flat or inverted nipples, and that is you, so many women are creating nipples that they never had.
Okay.
Because they're putting their nipple in flanges that are so big for their body because people don't know how to measure them based on flat or inverted nipples where your nipple may not poke out from your
shoulder.
So people just create this extra nipple and then the pain, so just being able to realize that you need to know what your nipple is, where your nipple begins and where ends and your areola begins.
Okay.
That's critical. Knowing the size, but also flange type. People just think I'm a number and that's it. Due to just advancements, there's so many flanges on the market. People will have spent $100 on flanges because, I'm going to say it in love, the exploitation of the pumping community in such a vulnerable time frame of you're trying to feed your baby. Some people, I don't care. I just want to, they said it's the best. I'm going to get it.
Right.
But then they don't consider what their breast or their nipples need in order to be successful. Right. Do you need silicone? Do you need hard plastic? I'll give you some secret sauce. There's only two types of flanges, silicone and hard plastic. What do you need? They're different types of flanges. We're directional. Some of them point down, some of them don't, some of them all silicone, some mimic a baby nursing. There are just so many flanges on the market. This whole bag back here is just full of flanges. I have at least 30 plus flanges in here because it is not a one size fits all approach.
Sure. Okay. That makes perfect sense. And I presume you have some resources maybe on your website or social media that can help, because I feel like that's a visual thing, showing people how to.
Correct. So in my, on social media, I talk about what to be looking for, but as far as like what someone needs to do, because what I also do is honor my flange fittings. So sometimes, let me tell you, people do, oh, you're this number, good luck, bye, see you later. I honor all of them, where when the products that we talk through come in, if they work or you need some troubleshooting, then I troubleshoot at no additional cost to figure out what your body needs to make sure that all of my clients are successful, because it's not, it's so not one size fits all on what is happening. If that
Gotcha. Yep. That makes sense. Okay. So let's talk about, I mean, we maybe talked about this already, mistakes that you see when people pump. It sounds like one may be like choosing the wrong pump. Another may be choosing the wrong flange size. Is there anything else that you see people making mistakes on?
So everything about Pump with Purpose is based on four things. I trademarked it as the pumping equation. Pump, flange, product, schedule. That's it. Everyone that pulls up, that's all we talk about.
Okay.
Flange, product, schedule. Pump is the breast pump. Flanges, pumping products. That's a big thing. People are like, what are you talking about pumping products?
Yeah.
Everyone that's pumping needs, and I did say need, they need a pumping bra.
Okay.
You need some, you cannot be out here holding your flanges thinking, first of all, just the comfortability of it.
Yes.
You know, being able to know if you need a hand massage.
Yes.
So pumping bra is so important. Mm-hmm. Anything that accompanies your journey, sometimes people need warming massagers, or some people like heat and they don't like massage. Some people like massage, don't like heat. So figuring out what products you need. Also, if you have...
I'm sorry. Is a pumping bra different than like a regular nursing bra?
Yes. Let me tell you the secret. All nursing bras do not allow for pumping without a hack, but all pumping bras allow for nursing. See that inclusive nature of pumping? All pumping bras allow, just depending on, they either have a slot to open up for nursing or they have a clip that can come down. Some different ones are out now, 30 plus pump, probably 40 plus pumping bras in here by now. Some are more sports bras. So thick bra, thin bra, sports bra, cami bra, Vicky bra with a deep V, feel like you have no bra on at all. There's a plethora of bras on the market that I can match people into. But if you know you like sports bras, you should not, let me tell you, you should not have to jeopardize your look. So the one thing about me and motherhood, I don't want people to sacrifice what looks good. Some of these frumpy, ugly bras, you're not going to feel beautiful. Right. There's so many amazing, beautiful bras. Some people love sports bras. They don't want a bra with the clip on the back. So there's so many sports bras on the market. There are just so many things. The nursing hack, I'm not a fan of. It tilts your bra up or your flanges up in the air. So you keep having, I keep telling you, keep pulling them down, don't you? Yeah. Because the nursing hack is, yes, I do believe that people always try to make things work. But sometimes it's worth getting something else that will work better for your journey. Also, not just with, some people want to put, I'm saying this in love, y'all. So if you hear this, I'm saying in love, they want to put holes in force. So they get a bra and they just put a hole in it. Right?
Yeah, don't do that.
There's so many things that, you know, you want to have proper support. You don't want to have, you know, you got to take off your bra, especially if you're back at work, you got to take off your bra in order to put a bra on with a hole in it. And it's just, it makes people think pumping is so complex and complicated, and it doesn't have to be.
Gotcha.
So yes, products are so important, and then schedule.
Yeah. So what, how do people get on the schedule? Yes.
I trademarked it as the 240 minute rule. This is my general advice. So you're actually going to get a rule here that in order to establish supplies, the 240 minute rule trademarked by Pump With Purpose, it is every 3 hours for 30 minutes for the first 12 weeks with the right pump, flange, products, and schedule. I want to give a huge disclaimer here, that is for pumping only. Okay. There are women that decide they want to pump from birth, right? Mm-hmm. Or their journey has taken them into a way that pumping is now their exclusive pumping.
Right.
Your exclusive pumping before the first 12 weeks, that is every 3 hours for 30 minutes for the first 12 weeks, it adds up to 240 minutes. Okay. So I want people, in order to establish supply, it used to be 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I'm going to tell you, I am team oversupply. I am team freezer stashy. I'm not saying that I need people with two deep freezers full of milk.
But if you want
an overage, it is a way to help you to get it. Okay. I feel like it's, for my personal opinion, it's easier to decrease than it is to increase. Pumping has a window that some women signal weaning when they're not pumping enough. Mm-hmm. Or if they have underlying conditions that are present that they're not aware of yet, they don't realize that their body needs more stimulation in order to be successful. So when people are able to increase their milk supply, it's because they're appropriately getting in the right tools and then using a schedule that works well. So if someone is under the sound of my voice that's nursing, you say, well, what am I supposed to do with nursing? And I'm going to give you this. Mm-hmm. The point of pumping is not to continuously chase behind baby. When you nurse, you don't want to take away, please hear me clearly, you don't want to take away milk from the baby in order to pump and have to give it back to your baby in a bottle. That's not the purpose of pumping. Right. The purpose of pumping, in my opinion, barring any underlying conditions, is to have something for a rainy day. You want to have a date night, or you want to go on a trip for a couple of days or weekend away. Right. You're sitting here a week before trying to tell your body you need all this milk to be away when you signal for the last 8 weeks that you didn't need any of that milk.
It is
a way to have something on average, not, I always ask people, how much do you want? Mm-hmm. And few people, when you add it in strategically, where you're not chasing behind baby, it's just going for a rainy day or saving something for a day, or you never
when you go back to work dip. Or exactly. You know, all those kinds of things. Yeah.
Go back to work. You have a dip. Your cycle comes on. You're in. That can impact you. You have something where you're not stressing and people are going to every 30 minutes. I'm not 30 minutes, every 2 hours, or they are power pumping for an hour long session.
Yeah.
In order to.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And it's so stressful that could be avoided with strategic ways of when to pump that's not taken away from your baby, but to add it in a way that you can just put something away. That's my ideal scenario for my nursing clients.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Love it. Love it. So then what about increasing milk supply? What do you suggest for people? Because a lot of people struggle with milk supply.
It is, again, the secret sauce of it all is the pumping equation. Pump, flange, products, and schedule. This new way people say, eat more, drink more, pump more, sleep more, stress less. That's what they keep telling us. Mm-hmm. I ate Oreos and I increased my milk supply. I drink Body Armor or coconut water, or coconut milk, and I increased my milk supply. I pumped every 2 hours or power pumped and I increased my milk supply. They have all these trends that hit social media that they're trying to do. And I go back to pump, flange, products, and schedule. That is it. I've helped people double, triple, quadruple, quintuple their milk supply with documented. It's, I have social proof of that. I'm not just telling you that.
Sure.
Based
sure.
on flange, products, and schedule. No herbal supplements.
Okay. Okay.
When you want to have that conversation.
Okay. All right. All
no
right.
No herbal supplements.
Right.
People don't realize that milk supply is made from your blood. It's not just about the food we eat and drink can fuel it, but it's made from our blood. So many people are chasing, I'm going to buy this supplement and that supplement. Don't realize that you need to go have a conversation potentially with your doctor to figure out what is going on. Or you have all these issues, I'm saying this in love, during pregnancy, and then someone just, they got the baby here, so they don't realize some of those same concerns go forward into your lactation journey.
Yeah. Yeah, one that always I think comes up fairly frequently is PCOS. If you have PCOS and trouble getting pregnant, you very well may have trouble breastfeeding.
Correct.
Yeah.
But if you make sure your levels stay maintained, or you don't just say, I had the baby, I've had that, and then don't make sure that, the appropriate insulin levels and all the things are checked with it, really can make sure that you have success. I have people with everything, breast surgery, PCOS, IgG, insufficient glandular tissue. I have people with something people think that causes you to not make enough milk, and they make enough milk.
Okay.
Because if you get it with the stimulation, the right pump, not saying everyone, but there are ways that people with documented underlying concerns can still make milk and make enough milk for their baby. But it comes with knowing it's there, working with someone that introduces the products to you earlier. Because let me tell you what happens a lot of times. At the very beginning, the first 2 weeks, when you're just focused on nursing, doctors tell you, don't pump for 4 to 8 to 6 to 12 weeks, right?
Right.
But you got engorged. If you don't pump that milk out, you lose it.
Yeah.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
Right.
And that's when I ask people, hey, think back to the first couple of weeks. Were you, and I got research coming this week on my social media platforms that, if you don't, the first 2 weeks are so critical. If you feel like something else is going on, to potentially make sure that you are effectively removing milk. Does that mean hand expression? That could mean a milk collector. That could mean a manual pump, or that could mean an electric breast pump.
Sure.
I'm not saying what way, but if you want to save some of that milk and tell your body you don't want it to reabsorb back in, that is the way to do so, is to get it out of the breast. Because what your baby takes in at 2 weeks, I promise you, is different than when they take in at 2 months.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, they're going to be a bigger baby then, for sure.
Yes.
For sure, for sure. Dr. Mom Butt Balm is a pediatrician-approved skin protectant, free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide. It was developed by a mom who is also a doctor when she couldn't find any traditional products that worked for her baby's persistent diaper rash. Diaper rash can be one of the worst experiences your little one has to go through, and keeping their delicate skin happy and healthy shouldn't require a spatula to apply thick, goopy treatments that can be just as irritating and uncomfortable as the diaper rash itself. Use just a small amount of Dr. Mom Butt Balm to help soothe your baby's skin and feel good about making the right choice. Dr. Mom is committed to providing an ultra-premium formula for moms who will not settle when it comes to their little ones. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with simple, quality ingredients, no artificial dyes or preservatives, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Head to Amazon.com or Walmart.com to grab Dr. Mom Butt Balm because nothing comes between you and your baby, especially not diaper rash. Okay, so what are, and I think we talked about mistakes. We talked about milk supply. What are the issues that people typically have when they pump? And maybe we've touched on them. Maybe no. It's that the schedule, or maybe it's the pain. What are the things that you see people come to you with?
I'm not even, the pumping is what I call pumping life hacks, right?
Okay.
The biggest thing with people with pumping, when especially either or with clients that nurse and then need to pump to go back to work, or they want to pump, or just in general, all the stuff that goes on. Like, okay. You got bottles, you got different bodies maybe drinking, you got all this extra. You got
I didn't even think about that.
Dishes,
yes.
To wash. And that is so detrimental to people's journey when they don't realize that there are ways to make things easier.
Yeah. So, please, what suggestions do you have?
My pumping life hacks are, when possible, pumping and bottle feeding at the same time. So okay. What that can look like is if your baby, I tell clients, because I'm like, how am I going to keep up? And by the time I get the baby fed and changed, and then it's time to pump, then I got to turn around and do the same cycle.
Right.
I was able, and I encourage when possible, it takes you a while to find your way through.
Sure.
So now, and you
sure.
have to do this.
Sure.
But one way is to pump and feed at the same time. Where
okay.
if your baby is eating, you are pumping. You pace bottle feed in your lap, put the bottle, I have different ways to show that. But pumping and feeding, bottle feeding at the same time.
Okay.
You can make sure that you don't feel like you have to do two separate things.
Right.
So pump and feed from the same bottle when possible. So there's so many bottles on
okay.
that have bottle converters look like this. They're different ones. This one is for like a Medela or Dr. Brown's bottle, but they're different ones for Lance and all. They're a bunch
right.
of bottle converters. So
right.
you would take that, put it on your pump, put your bottle on, and now you can pump and feed into the same bottle, which will dramatically cut your wash time in half.
Okay.
And if you want to go some more secret sauce, you buy 2 days worth, so you're not stressing about I got to wash up all this stuff
yes.
to the same day in
yes.
order to give it to my baby tomorrow.
Yes.
If you have 2 days worth, then it can wash and then be ready for the next day. These are just little nuances that
yeah.
make people's lives easier.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about all those washing all those stuck on bottles and things. Yes. Because most of it, you can't really put, I mean, maybe these days are different, but back then you're not supposed to put it in the dishwasher. You got to hand wash all the stuff.
I did hand wash, and I'm proud of, old school here, but I did hand wash. But you can't put it, most of them, they say you can put it in the dishwasher.
Okay. Okay.
But, so then the third one is pumping and feeding, bottle feeding one bottle ahead. So what that looked like for me was sometimes we're stressed out. Like, oh my gosh, my baby's going to wake up and I need to get this milk out like right now.
Mm-hmm.
Breast milk is good out per CDC for 4 hours. I promise you most of the time your infant will be eating before 4 hours, right?
Sleep,
you can put it in the fridge. But I fed one bottle ahead. So when I pumped at 4, that was my bottle for 7. When I pumped at 7, that
okay.
was my bottle for 10. So then I always had a bottle on ready. So just in case baby got hungry, went through a growth spurt and needed a bottle at 2.5
sure.
hours,
okay.
there was always one on ready for me. Once I did these pumping life hacks for me, they really changed the trajectory of how long I could pump. How pumping does not seem as inconvenient, right?
Right.
Or buying extra parts. So I have a set of, I had kept 4 parts in rotation.
Uh-huh.
So all my morning pumps was with one. I washed them, and then all my night pumps. So when I go to bed, it was like, I got to get up and I just had a stuff already hooked up.
Sure.
And I just pumped to the next session.
Got
already
it,
ready
got
to
it,
go.
Got it.
Left
okay.
so much. And that's how I was able to do so more long term.
Okay. I love it. And I know you talked about that 3 hours The 240 rule for the first 12 weeks. Obviously, that's going to change as your baby gets older. Yeah, you're not going to have to get up during the night every 3 hours.
Yes, that's for the first 12 weeks. Some women, if something else is going on, some of them may have to keep some of that, doing some type of more regular pumping. But the goal, the secret goal to exclusive pumping is, most of us want to pump less and make the same amount, if not more. So as we drop pumps, I help people to strategically drop them and they don't lose very little, if any, milk. That's the goal, where you can drop pumps and because you can see everything.
Sure.
But you can drop pumps and hopefully not see. So when people drop pumps and like, I lost 10 ounces, something's wrong.
Okay.
You
okay.
know, you something's not right with your tools when I hear these huge dips and then you can't get it back because your tools are wrong. Your body needs certain things to be successful to make the milk again. But then you're in tools that are too big for your body or your flanges. Your nipples are stretching and swelling, looking like a miniature Vienna sausage. Your nipples are changing colors, turning purple, right. turning blue, turning white.
Yeah, no, that shouldn't have to be that way.
It doesn't. If we armed that we can get the right tools from the beginning. My prenatal clients, I cannot say enough how much their journey is set differently by learning the things that they need to do to be successful people. If you hear nothing else from me, know that in general breastfeeding, but in pumping with all the devices and products, create a huge level of confusion. And people think that, say it in love, that everyone just like, it's cute to show all these pumps on your page. Right. Oh, it gets all these views. When you look at my page, you rarely see pumps because people will make an inference that some people are like, I see this pump on your page. That means you recommend it. No, I do reviews on pumps, but I don't throw things across people's screen because if you have to spend money or get an insurance pump, you want to choose correctly the first round.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the final thing I want to talk about is I had never heard this before. What do you mean when you say pumping self-care?
Find your voice so you can find your peace.
Mm.
That is my motto that my community knows.
Right.
Pumping self-care looks completely different from everyone.
Okay.
Your village, your people that are in your corner,
they
want us to be successful.
Uh-huh.
I promise you that. If you're hearing my voice right now, they want you to be successful, but they have to know what you want first.
Okay.
What I will say is people kept telling me what self-care looks like. Oh, your husband, your significant other is supposed to wash all your parts. That's not self-care for me.
Okay.
People they got a nanny and they do this. That's not self-care for me.
Okay.
You have to find your voice so you can find your peace. If that is at home, if that is at work, sometimes self-care means to be able to block that calendar off and know you can get your pump sessions done every day. That's self-care. Self-care can mean your significant other. Like for me, it's Basement Fridays. My community knows Basement Fridays. My husband takes my kids, now they're older now, down to the basement and I get a night to myself.
Okay.
I don't have to listen for anybody.
Right.
I don't worry about anybody waking up.
Right.
That's self-care for me.
Okay.
Please understand, stop applying other people's definition on what self-care looks like, but you have to know what it is for you so you can communicate to others what you need. It's already a lot. Some people's self-care looks like washing all your pump parts for you. If you tell your significant other you need that, I'm thinking they will do so if you show them what needs to be done, and they will do it. Sometimes it looks like when I was 9 months, we hired cleaners to come and they still come in once a month to help deep clean the household because I don't have the time to do so or the deep cleaning.
Sure.
That's self-care for me.
Right.
Taking stuff off my plate is self-care for me.
Right.
Doesn't mean I need to go get my nails and my hair done and all that stuff. That doesn't. People are like, No. Self-care can look like celebrating your journey in the way that works best for you. So it can look like a trip. Can look like a pumping moon. I don't know when you're done. Whatever it is, you just call these things like. But you have to be able to communicate to your loved ones what that looks like. That could mean someone not even taking your baby out of the house. That could mean coming over, letting you pump in peace. Take the baby upstairs.
Right.
Take the baby to the basement.
Right.
I just want to normalize that we have to find what works best for us and communicate that to others.
Absolutely. 1000%.
I want people to really, really hope that resonates with someone today.
Yeah, that's a life lesson. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. For sure.
We can't be everything to everyone. And tell people, take the S off your chest. Mm-hmm. We cannot be everything to everyone where we lose ourselves. Absolutely. I also want to point out that who you are today may not be the person you were before you had children.
It won't. Honestly, it,
they're
it
not.
You become a new person when you have children.
Correct. Yeah. But it's still a beautiful person, even if that person's different.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm not the same person. I don't want to be her though.
Right.
But I've accepted that this new me looks completely different, with different goals, with different aspirations on what success looks like for me. Mm-hmm. So I hope that resonates with someone today that's listening to this.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So as we wrap up, I ask all of my guests this: what is the most frustrating part of your work?
First thing that comes to mind. And I'm going to say this in love. There are times that peer to peer telling someone your lived experience can help, but also knowing that some people need more professional care.
Yeah.
So my biggest thing is, I will never deny the influencers. They're great at normalizing pumping. You know, they're great at, you know, at least seeing somebody pumping these days is amazing. I'm just saying.
They
put their journey out there for us to see, and people follow it and they love it. But sometimes we try to replicate other people's journey. Mm-hmm. We try to live through their experiences and try to put and do it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always work the same.
Right.
So my biggest thing is trying to dispel some of the myths, or telling people, you know, maybe it's time to bring in the doctor. Maybe it's time to talk with your OB or your PCP. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have 2 deep freezers and, you know, 90 ounces a day. Everyone's not going to have that.
Right.
Most people are not going to have that.
True.
But I don't shame people that do have it or want it. But I also don't shame or make people feel like they need to have it. But if you do have it and that is what you want for your goals, then that's okay too. So I'm big on making sure we do what's best for you.
Yes, absolutely.
That's my biggest thing of, I just want people to not live just in social media, to do every single thing, or on Google all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to find someone that we can have a dialogue with, because some people don't realize you can say one little thing and it's the gateway to why you're going through everything you're going through.
Right. Absolutely.
Because they're not trained to hear and see and have the ability to see so many people, to understand all the nuances that can come into play.
Yeah. So it's like the ability to use their knowledge, their expertise and experience, and then apply it to help you through your unique situation, really. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So then on the flip side, what's the most rewarding part of your work?
Let me tell you, meeting so many amazing people. So my community knows, I say, I want to change the world one pumping family at a time. and I mean that.
Right.
I'm big on helping the pumping community to reach its goals. And the most rewarding thing is having people to trust me. I create a safe space and place for pumping. Mm-hmm. I have an app on all Google, Apple devices. I'm evolutionary. I want to change the world in how they view pumping.
Okay.
So my most rewarding work is for people to trust me enough from their journey to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. I have so many resources. If you're on my Instagram, I go live twice a week. I do question boxes on the weekends, because a day in lactation can be a week with your supply.
It can
take you literally, if you don't have the resource to say, who can I talk to? Half the time people don't, let me be real. You know what I mean? People are like, they don't answer DMs. They don't talk. They don't, you know, and you're searching.
Right.
You always have a place here. Even if it's I'm not the best person. Here it's a better person for you. I know my people. I know my avatar.
Right.
But don't ever hesitate to ask for help. So the people that do, they know I create a safe space and place for them to get what they need. Mm-hmm. Because some of it can be life changing. Some of it is also life threatening. Mm. You have things going on with your body There are people that if you don't get the care for mastitis or knowing when to go or having that, you know, people have to end up getting that brush drained off.
Sure.
So much.
Yeah.
Without somewhere to at least point you to where to go. I may not be the person for everything,
right,
but I make sure I find a resource in order to help you.
Yeah. That's wonderful. That's wonderful and really important. So then what would be your favorite piece of advice that you would give to someone about pumping?
Everything you say, the first thing that pops in mind, I say it, do what is best for you. Mm-hmm. It's always my motto. I never demean or make people second. There could be people that say something and I know that something is wrong. And I will say, you know, because HIPAA and all the things, I can't say certain things, but I don't want you to get through with the end of your journey and have all these regrets. So I say, if you're happy with what you're doing, do what is best for you. Mm-hmm. Don't let me or anybody else in social media or your family, your friends, make you second guess your journey, make you doubt your motherhood journey, mm-hmm, because it's yours. It's only yours and no one else's. I made my journey and mm-hmm, I'm proud.
Right.
Through journeys, I'm proud.
Right.
I'm never going to let somebody make me second guess what I've been called to do.
Right. Right.
And I just encourage you. Some people, they always want to know why they're going through things. Some of it is not to understand right now. Some of it can be 2 to 3 years later, i.e. me, that's created a platform of platforms that if I wouldn't have gone through what I went through. So some of it is not for you. Some of it is for you to help others later with in a way that works best for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So where can people find you? What are the social media links, website, all that great stuff?
I'm at everything is www.pumpwithpurpose.com.
Okay.
Instagram, everything. I'm Pump With Purpose. So
everywhere.
They everywhere.
Twitter. Okay. TikTok. Are you on TikTok?
Everywhere. TikTok, Peanut, Lemonade. I got on there. I'm wherever the pumping community is.
Okay. All right. I love it. Love it. Love it.
Yes. But Instagram, but I will say Instagram is where I do most and all of my nurturing because I can't be committed everywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, that's honoring your own self and what works best for you. We can't do all the things. I'm the same. I'm on Instagram as well.
Correct. So if you really want to find me in a way that's in a nurturing space, is Instagram.
Okay. Yes. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to come onto the podcast. This was a very, very helpful conversation. I so appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
So wasn't that a great episode? I just love how passionate she is about her work, how honest, how open, how supportive. I just love to connect with folks who are really just so committed to helping people. And I appreciate her input in conversation today. All right. Now, every conversation where I have a guest expert on, I do something called Dr. Nicole's Notes, which are my top takeaways from the conversation. So here are my Dr. Nicole's Notes from my conversation with Dr. Dixon from Pump With Purpose. Number one, I think in my experience, most women, most people are going to introduce pumping at some point. Okay. Just because you go back to work or the convenience or to let your partner feed the baby some, most people will introduce pumping. So go ahead and familiarize yourself with it from the start. I wish I would have learned more about this while I was pregnant, about how to introduce pumping. You don't want to be figuring out how to do things while you're flying the plane, so to speak. So definitely look into getting yourself familiar with pumping before you have to do it. All right. Okay. Number two, I love how we talked about creating your own journey. You are capable. You are strong enough to create your own journey. That is in your life. That is with your pregnancy and birth experience. That is with parenthood. That is with breastfeeding. Now, you definitely want to get help from other sources, right? So as you're going through this journey, like you're going through your pregnancy, you're preparing for your birth, breastfeeding, being a parent, of course you learn from others and you get help from others. But as Dennis Morton says, I don't know if any of you do Peloton, but I am a Peloton junkie, so to speak. I mostly do yoga and the tread, and Dennis does yoga. And one of the things that he says all the time is when in all his classes is, I make suggestions, you make decisions. So we here as experts are giving you our suggestions and input based on our training, our knowledge, our expertise, our experience. But ultimately, you are the one who is capable and should be making decisions about your life and your journey with breastfeeding and your journey with all of these things, okay? Don't let other people make decisions for you, all right? And then the final thing that I want to say, and this is something that I've been talking a lot more about just because I've seen, it feels like more people entering into the online education space or in quote unquote influencer space who are just kind of setting up shop without necessarily having any real background or training. Make sure you are getting your information from a trustworthy source, okay? Now, if you are here, then you probably already know that, or you probably already value that because you know that I'm a doctor, I'm well-trained, I've been doing this a long time. I have a ton of experience. I've helped bring over 1,000 babies into this world. I am currently still practicing and practicing in a hospital environment, okay? So that's why I focus on talking about hospital birth because that is what I know. That is what I talk about. You're not going to hear me talking about home birth. You're not going to hear me talking about birth center birth. You're not even necessarily going to hear me a lot talking about midwifery care in the sense that I can't speak in depth about it because it's just not something that I know. And I want you to be sure that you are getting information about a topic from trustworthy sources, from people who know what they're doing, know what they're talking about, are not showing up with this sort of, this is the only way to do things. This is how you have to do things. If you're doing things a different way, then you are doing things wrong. What you want is information from people who are giving you information. They're telling you where they're getting it from, okay? They're telling you what it's based upon. And then saying, hey, here's the information, make the decisions for yourself. Anything that is sort of, here's what you have to do, again, that is a problem. Anyone who's telling you or not telling you how they're basing their decisions, that is a problem. And that's not to say that experience alone doesn't matter. We all start somewhere. Like when I just started out, I wasn't the same as I am now, right? We all start somewhere. But people just have to be honest and forthcoming about that, okay? So get your information from sources that are worthy of your trust. And creating a trustworthy community is what we are doing inside of the All About Pregnancy and Birth Inner Circle community on Facebook. It's completely free to join. And this will be a place that is just a big, loving, supportive community for those who are having a baby. I would love for you to join if you are trying to get pregnant, currently pregnant, if you're a birth worker, if you're a healthcare worker in a pregnancy and birth related field. If you want to be in a supportive place, if you want to support others, if you believe in people's humanity, if you believe in empathy, if you believe in coming from a place of love and connection and creating that just warm, supportive community, then I would so love to have you. Now, again, I am not like fairies and, you know, rainbows for everything. I know that there are going to be places where people have disagreements, but we're going to do so in ways that are kind, in ways that are not mean, in ways that are not ugly or rude. That is just not the community that I want to create. We have too much of that already in our world. So in the Inner Circle community, we are aiming to do things a bit different, do things a lot different, actually. So come join us. It's All About Pregnancy and Birth Inner Circle Community on Facebook, you can get it at facebook.com/groups/ Dr. Nicole Rankins, and you can find it there. All right. So that is it for this episode. Do me a solid. Share this podcast with a friend. Sharing is caring. And I'm on a mission to reach and serve as many people as possible, and I would appreciate your help in doing that. You can also subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to me right now. Leave a review in Apple Podcast. And in addition to connecting with us in the All About Pregnancy and Birth Inner Circle community, the other place where you can connect with me is Instagram. I'm on Instagram at Dr. Nicole Rankins. Shoot me a DM there and say hello. I'd love to hear from you. So that's it for this episode. Do come on back next week. And remember that you deserve a beautiful pregnancy and birth.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.